In the first interview she gave me many intimate details of my life at W, when RLW and I were boys. In the second interview, by means of table writing, we obtained details such as names and dates from my mother, RLW, and HJL. The details given were known only to myself and them and certainly were not known to the medium. I afterwards questioned HJL and the others, and they declared that they were present, and gave the answers which came through. But they also attempted to get through certain other messages and failed. Having obtained evidence from an outside source of my communicators, I did not continue these seances, as it was evident I could get better messages direct. I consider, however, that the experiment was of real value, for these three reasons. 1. It gave me additional evidence as to the objective reality of the communicators. 2. It proved that such communications could be obtained through this medium. Of this fact I had little doubt but, in view of the recent attacks on all mediums, I thought the experiment desirable. 3. It also showed, to a certain extent, the limitations imposed on this form of intercommunication between the two worlds. It should, however, be borne in mind that these limitations might, probably would, have disappeared in time as the entities became used to the new medium. The following visit gives the comments of the spirits themselves upon this experiment. It should be remembered that Mrs. L. had no knowledge of the fact that I possessed mediumistic powers myself. December 4, 1916. As soon as I entered the house where H.J.L. lived on the astral plane, I said, "Did you try to get into touch with me through that medium?" H.J.L. "We did, all three of us, and there were others besides. RLW, I found it very difficult to get the ideas through which I wanted. Many failed, I don't know why, still we did not do so badly." H.J.L. "That was, of course, largely because RLW has never tried any medium on Earth, and I've practically never tried anyone else but you. RLW, I was trying to give you proofs that it was I, while not giving the medium more information than I could help. So it was rather like throwing down bits of a jigsaw puzzle which you had to piece together. Moreover, all the pieces did not reach you. However, we did not do so badly. Mother insisted on coming, but, of course, she could not do much." "Yes, it was B she was thinking of. It shows how she is improving that she was able to come. I notice that when one gets into the denser and the more material conditions of the earth plane, one gets fuzzy, as it were. H.J.L. "The old gentleman was your great-grandfather. I've never seen him before. He comes from the division above, that is of faith without acts. He told me he was drawn there by some invisible force. But we had very little conversation. J.W. "Why were you seen as having brown hair? I always see you as white-haired." H.J.L. "That is because you expect me to be like that, so I take that form, but usually here I prefer to look a healthy, middle-aged man." RLW "Yes, I've noticed that of late, though at first you appeared old." I then told H.J.L. that during the last few days I had been seized with a desire to do cubist drawings. Did he know the explanation? H.J.L. "I've no doubt that some cubist artist who has been killed lately is trying to continue to work through you. If he finds you a suitable medium, he may be able to achieve something interesting, but I don't suppose there's any money in it. Personally, I can't imagine anyone buying a cubist drawing. But there's no accounting for taste. Anyway, you'll make the poor fellow happy, and that's no small feat, after all. So I should let him experiment at it, it won't do any harm. Anyway, I have not an idea who it is, and, unfortunately, you've nothing by which I can trace him. These realms are fairly wide, you know. However, I'll be on the lookout." After a little more conversation we parted. Note: of this cubist phase soon passed. Chapter 41, Food and Sleep Not Necessary. December 11, 1916. On my arrival at the house in the astral plane where H.J.L. and L.W. lived, L. found Mother with them. RLW "Yes, Mother is so much better that she has come to live with us." Mother: "Yes, Jack, but there is no housekeeping to do here. That seems funny. However, I shall not be dull, for I am just beginning to get about again. This is quite an interesting country. It's very like the earth, only it's a great blessing not having to bother about meals. Meals are a perfect nuisance on earth. Do you know, I met a woman recently who said she missed her meals? Fancy wanting to eat for the sake of eating. Then one does not need any sleep here, though another woman I met told me she came from a district where they used to lie down and go to sleep. Can you make that out? There is a division very like this in appearance, but nearer the earth plane, and there the astral beings both eat and sleep. At least, so I understand from various people I have met. The division is so like the earth that many astrals refuse to believe they are dead, others know they do not need food or sleep, but it has become such a habit that they nevertheless continue to do so. Of course there is a danger that after a time astral food and drink will fail to satisfy them, and they may fall into obsessing. Then explain this phenomenon. Mother. What is obsessing? Mother. What a disgusting idea. The conversation then drifted into other channels, mostly of a private nature, and after a while I left. Chapter 42. The officer describes his organization. December 18, 1916. As soon as I arrived at RLW's house, I wished them all a happy Christmas. Mother promptly inquired about B. HJL told me that RLW and Mother were now settling down to the normal course of life on the astral plane. The officer was gradually expanding his organization for helping the soldiers who passed over. The latter entered while he was speaking, and said, "Yes, it is getting quite a big thing now. I have under me over 5,000 astrals working. At the head of all is myself. I have 5 officers whom I call colonels, each being in charge of 1,000 workers. They have 2 majors, each major has 5 captains, one of whom is RLW, under him, and these have 100 workers. These workers are divided into sections of 9 men and a sergeant. This is the smallest unit we employ, though, of course, sometimes in the course of this work one worker will be attached to one newcomer. Headquarters staff is represented by 5 colonels and myself. Besides the permanent staff, we have a constant stream of new recruits, whom we utilize so far as we are able. Many are useful as messengers, and so forth. After a time those who wish to join our organization are drafted into new companies, which are assisted by men promoted from the old camp. Thus, I have just absorbed all Company E. All the sergeants became captains, and most of the privates became sergeants. I retain, however, 2 or 3 privates for each section to keep the new recruits straight. It's working very well, I am glad to say, but we need more workers still. After a little more conversation, I said to RLW, "What work are you undertaking?" Comma looked a bit sheepish and then said, "I can't help Germans, really, and I am doing a fair amount under the officer." W. "Well, why not set out to take a general survey of the astral plane?" "A jolly good idea. I'll start at once." W. "Don't hurry. I have the original work to deal with first, but meanwhile, just look round. Uncle, will you help?" HJL. "Certainly. This place needs a full survey, but it's a huge task, I warn you. The officer, give you a helping hand. I get to know many types of men and many different experiences of death." So it was agreed, and soon after I returned to Earth. Since then I have visited my friends every Monday night, but although we have much private conversation, I have learned little of general interest. Meanwhile my first work, Gone West, was accepted, and when I informed the spirit friends, they began to redouble their investigations. What now follows is the result of their labors. Chapter 43, Two Occult Experiences of B. September 6, 1917. A. 80's dream of the miller's dog. B dreamed she was in the MS garden, and their dog rose up out of its grave and began to play with her. It was somewhat shadowy, she could see the plants, etc., through it. It romped and played with her for some time, and while doing so, she asked it if there were any fairies where it was. It replied, "Thousands." After a time it sank back into its grave. J. W. October 30, 1917. B.S. dream of my mother. B. found hers if in a tract of rolling down, bare of trees or shrubs, except that here and there were juniper trees. She found herself with the big grandmama, and talked with her. She asked her if there were any fairies, and grandmama said, lots. She seemed to be very pleased to see her, B, but B could not remember what they talked about. I checked this last account when next I saw my mother, who confirmed it in every detail. Evidently they met on the dream plane J. W. End of part 1. Part 2, general survey of the astral plane, and further accounts of the work and life of this band of friends thereon. Related by Lieutenant R. L. W. to J. S. M. Ward. Chapter 1 describes the difference between the spirit and the astral planes. November 12, 1917. As soon as I entered the room where R. L. W. dwells, he began, "Well, Jack, shall we start the survey of the astral plane? I'm quite ready to begin." J.W., "Yes, I am all attention." Then spoke. "Before X begins, let me give an introduction. The first point you must realize is the great difference between astral and the spirit planes. Let us consider the spirit plane first. These differences strike the investigator at once. -1. Matter has vanished entirely. -2. Space is non-existent. -3. Time is nearly non-existent, although there is something akin to chronological order. To make my meaning plain, consider hell. Hell is not a place. It is a condition. The evil spirit quits the astral plane, that is to say, he leaves astral body and ceases to be visible to the denizens of the astral. It is quite possible that he is still on the same spot as he was at time before, if you can so use the word, just as a dead man may haunt the earth, invisible to most. I'll prove this statement of mine. He ceased and suddenly his form grew on, became thin like paper, tore in shreds, and vanished. Mother shrieked, and R. L. W. sat spellbound and horror-struck. "Good heavens!" he ejaculated, "I hope he has not left us for good. J.W. I have never seen him do that before, but I know I can him if I return to Earth, leave my astral form here, and go out to the spirit plane." We were still debating what we should do, when I perceived a mist near where he had sat. It grew thicker and denser. By degrees it became almost a solid mound. Then the mound moved, and began to pulsate. Slowly it changed into the form of a man, and there once more was H. J. L. back amongst us. He was standing a few yards away from the chair upon which he had been seated. That was the only difference. "Mother, I wish you would not play these tricks, they are so startling. You gave me a fearful shock." H. J. L. smiled, and said, "I did it to bring home my point. So far as I am aware, I never moved away from this point, yet I vanished, as you saw, and my astral body disintegrated. Of course, I am not a real denizen of this plane, so it's the easier." J. W. "What landscape did you see?" H. J. L. "I found myself seated in my study in the Twilight Land." "Well, to continue. This evil spirit immediately drifts into the company of other evil spirits of an equally evil nature. Their dominant sin grips them as in a vice, and their chief thoughts run on the lines it has marked out. Take the officer, whose dominant vices were hate and ruthlessness. He thought hate, that produced an atmosphere of cruelty and hate, and his companions were likewise thinking the same ideas. The sum total of their united ideas formed the division of hell. Those who were weaker in character, or even in cruelty, had to accept the ideas thrown off by the stronger, and, therefore, the officer was able to inflict pain and wounds on those whom he crushed. J.W. It has been suggested that the officer's account of hell is an account of a nightmare dreamed by his sleeping spirit. H.J.L. That is not a correct summary of the position. Earth folk find it very hard to realize that even on Earth the idea is everything. They are so used to seeing ideas clothed in matter, that they regard ideas not so clothed as much less important. Now this is incorrect. Let us consider, say, the winged figure of victory. The idea existed in the mind of its creator before he carved it in marble. The idea would still have existed if he had never carved it. Moreover, he might have made a model of it, and then had a bronze cast therefrom by someone else. But if he had, the idea would have been his, not the caster's. Mind, I think he is the better artist, and probably the statue is a better statue, if he does all the work himself. But that does not alter my argument. Well, though on earth ideas, to become visible must, as a rule, be clothed in matter, on the spirit plane the idea itself is perceived by us and takes the form in which we have conceived it. You, Jack, will understand this easily, as you have seen the statues in Thefal galleries on the spirit plane, which is explained in the work we have recently given to the public. Gone West, Pub. William Ryder and Son. Now, add to that fact the further one that united belief in an abstract idea creates it, as seen in the forms of the gods which are worshipped in the second division of the spirit plane, and you have all the material for hell as described by the officer. So, too, you have the explanation of how the rest houses are set up in hell by bands of good spirits. These phenomena are as objective to us as material phenomena are to earth folk, and more so, for we feel them with our whole being instead of merely perceiving them by means of one of our senses, as, for example, by means of sight. Now I object to the dreaming them for this reason. In mortal life the dreamer is a passive witness of the scenes which pass through his mind. I do not mean that he does not sometimes appear to play a part in them, of course he does. But there comes a time when he wakes and knows they were a dream. No such thing occurred with the officer. He did not wake from the nightmare. Rather, his nightmare, by degrees, changed into a pleasanter dream, and he and I and all we see are dreams. But if so, whose dreams? Not the officer's. No, the way in which a dream could explain the phenomena is not that hell was a dream of the officer's, but that he and I, and RLW and your mother are all dreams, and you are the dreamer. Well, you know that this is absurd, though the outside world may, or may not, think so, but as I am speaking for your satisfaction mostly, I tell you to put that idea away. It won't enable you to explain the subject. Grasp fully the import of the law that the form and the idea take the place of the physical and the astral body, and much that is difficult to understand becomes plain. For this law governs the spirit plane whether in hell or in the highest division. Therefore, it is true to say that hell is a condition and not a place. The astral plane, but this statement is not true of the astral plane. Minus 1. The astral plane is semi-material. Minus 2. It is something to akin to space and even position 3. Time does exist, though in a more fluidic form than on Earth. Now, before enlarging on these points, I want to draw your attention to these characteristics of the astral plane which differentiate it in a marked way from the spirit plane. The whole astral plane and its inhabitants are much less fixed than either the earth or the spirit plane. It is a halfway house between the two, and partakes of the nature of both, often with incongruous results. Its inhabitants are much less graded and sorted out than those in the spirit plane. You can meet quite evil persons on the sixth division of the astral plane, and quite good ones on the earth plane. Again, you find in certain parts of the astral plane life approximating closely to life of the earth, and yet you will find men of several nationalities discussing abstruse problems by means of telepathy, nearly as completely as we do in the spirit plane. Let us take point 1. The astral plane may be regarded as the astral body of the earth itself, and just as the astral body spreads its aura or outer fringe beyond our earth body to a distance of a few inches, so does the world. But just as the astral body of a man is within as well as without his physical body, so the astral plane interpenetrates the earth. The further one gets from the earth, the finer becomes the matter which still exists, until at length it ceases. Therefore, gross astral beings cannot reach the higher divisions of the astral plane. Now, I am trying to keep this as clear as I can, so if you can't follow me, say so at once, and remember that what may seem clear to you may not seem clear to others who have not had your experience. JW, I follow you quite well. HJL, yes. With regard to the second point, You will now understand that in a certain sense, oh, you must not be too literal, of course, oh, but in a certain sense there is space, place, and position. In a moment, when I've finished, RLW will show you a diagram of the astral plane. The two lowest divisions may be considered as within the Earth's crust. Of course, I don't mean that if you dig a big hole you will ever be able to see them with mortal eyes, but yet in a sense that is their position. The third division, our Earth plane, is really the outer crust of the physical Earth, as seen by an astral being. Those last few words convey a great deal, as Rex will explain later. The fourth division, or the land of the dreamers, is a curious band of country linking up the Earth plane and the higher division of the astral plane. Here time begins to play a curious part, for here come the astral elements which are being thrown off by all things physical, whether animate or what you are pleased to call inanimate. Here come the dreamers, and here also come many astrals who descend from the higher division to meet those who come seeking them, and at times they stay and talk as your mother did to be, and sometimes they lead the dreamers into the fifth or sixth division of the astral plane, as I did when I met C.W. Sea Gone West. This division corresponds largely with the lower atmosphere, and the very finest particles of dust which are made visible to mortals when the sun illuminates them are the grossest form of matter which we can see on that plane. Of course, when we are on the Earth plane we are brought within the influence of Earth conditions, and can see real material objects, but they look different to us from what they do to you. The next two divisions are further out in space, that is further from the Earth, and also the effect of time begins to appear. The fifth and sixth divisions mingle in a way which is very difficult to describe, which brings home to us more than anything else the curious blend of physical and spiritual, so characteristic of the astral plane. In the fifth division the denizens think they need food and sleep, and so they have astral food, and actually appear to sleep. In the sixth division, where we are, all four of us, the denizens know that neither food nor sleep is necessary and therefore do not have them. Now, you will perceive at once that this is the law of spiritual condition. It marks one of the earliest stages of the cleansing of the spirit from earth influence. But the effect of time is peculiar also, for these two divisions, which in outward appearances resemble each other very closely, show all the various stages through which the world has passed. Thus the world which is perishing today under the guns in Italy is speeding over to the fifth and sixth divisions. Here also you will find the astral form of the Ice Age or of the coal measures. Now, whereas on the physical world the most recent one is beneath your feet, and the Archean rocks are buried deep down in the bowels of the earth, here you seem to see these ages reflected in a mirror. And so the age of today is in order of space nearest to the earth, and each earlier age is further out in the ether. To take a homely simile, if the earth were the heart of a bulb, the outer husk would be the Archean rocks, and the intervening layers would represent the coal measures, the ice age, the present age, and so forth, of the astral plane. But though this is a simple and effective simile, it is not, unfortunately, a completely correct one. The position is complicated by the fact that these strata here have each two sections, or one for those who need food, and one for those who don't. If I were to merge them into one division, and simply say that those who needed food formed little communities together while those who did not likewise lived apart, it should give you a very fair idea of the truth, out yet I should not be absolutely correct. Highest division lies away sixth division, but by the astral being reaches that astral body is growing, losing his grip on locality more under the influence condition. Most astrals it, because their astral away and their spirit soars spirit plane. Diagram of the astral plane, see PDF web book. Leaving the subject of should add that there is a tendency for the layers represent say, London in correspond roughly with the present on the earth. Now briefly consider the time. We have a very fair chronological order which cases, I mean RLW, and aided by the recurrence of J.W., started, and said, but if you have no sun, what is the light I see? HJL, the astral sun, which does not follow exactly the same hours as the physical sun, and the more material the division into which it has to penetrate, the less light is received. Thus there is no light in the two lowest divisions, which are, as it were, within the earth. Even the third division, which is, remember the earth as seen by the astral being, is comparatively dark. Dreamland is inclined to a soft twilight, though some parts, those nearest to the fifth division, are fairly bright. When we reach the fifth and sixth divisions we find an abundance of light, and so too in the highest division. When the astral being passes out of his astral body into the spirit plane, he no longer perceives astral sunlight. You know the cause of light there, and how those who have failed to develop their spiritual nature are unable to enter the brighter divisions. But to continue about time, it is far more fluidic than it is on earth in one sense, yet in another sense one sometimes is inclined to think that it has stood still in certain parts of the astral plane. Thus one enters the Ice Age area, one finds men and animals which must have entered it thousands of years ago still behaving just as they did at the time of that long forgotten epoch. These are examples of its curious stability. But I fancy it's caused by the old law of condition. The savages have created an Ice Age atmosphere, as it were. Then, again, we have no set seasons. You realize that when we visited that splendid garden, again, our feelings cause some periods of earth time to drag for a great while. RLW here broke in. Yes, the time that passed between my death and your first visit seemed enormous, almost as long as your first visit until now. I, J, W, nodded sympathetically. HJL continued. Now, I don't suppose I have covered all the ground I ought in this introduction, but I have given enough to enable a start to be made. Further points can be elucidated as we go on. He ceased, and Rex began. I will first of all show you a rough diagram of this plane which I have made. He then opened a drawer in a desk close by, and took out a sheet of paper on which he had drawn the above diagram. Where did you get clean paper here? I inquired. RLW found it in the drawer. I expect it was destroyed with the house. I studied the diagram carefully, and while I did so he emphasized and explained certain features. Chapter 2, The Diagram of the Astral Plane. R. LW Division 1, which I call the Antechamber of Hell, is a dismal place, and I have not visited it myself. But you have, see page 53. Men are seldom, if ever, found there, only when falling into hell do they enter and pass through it, and most of them, as in the case of the officer, see nothing of its condition. It is the battleground of all the evil passions which sink there from earth or rise out of hell. Many of them become personified, as you know, and the other denizens are the lowest and vilest form of elementals. It is a perfect nightmare land with no buildings or semi-physical features or a weltering waste of raging, evil passions. To keep these in check, and prevent them from overflowing onto the earth, the astral plane, and even the twilight land of the spirit plane, spirits of light descend and do battle with the powers of darkness. Its borders are ever fluctuating, the powers of darkness constantly overflow into the second division, and even penetrate through it in places and enter the earth division and the land of the dreamers. They never reach the fifth division. HJL. The reaction of the struggle, however, is sometimes felt on the lowest edge of the twilight land, as Jake can bear witness. RLW. The second division is the division of evil mortals who sink into the various sins of obsession. It's a dark and murky air, and is a fair counterpart of hell on the astral plane. There are no buildings on this division, nor any animals. The landscape, if so we can call it, consists of great canyons, with high precipices. Amid these canyons lurk degenerate mortals who are fast drifting into hell. There is a little dirty water in parts, and slime and filth everywhere. By means of obsession its inhabitants, do escape onto the earth division and the prey upon human beings who are still in the flesh. Their victims are for the most part drink-sodden criminals, and their favorite hunting ground is some slum on earth. They crowd round drinking dens and houses of ill repute. That they urge on the criminal and debased to fleshly excesses, and entwining themselves with their victims gain a vicarious gratification of their burning desires. There is very little hope for an astral being which has sunk to this state, except via hell, but there are exceptions, and I have met one or two quite recently. It is from them that I have gained this information. Evil elementals abound. I will give you a chapter on elementals later, so we will next turn to Division 3.